The F and Rad Snowboard Podcast is presented by Vans.
Oh yeah, I want it to be absolutely not attractive to snowboarders.
Maybe we need an injection of that, because it'd be interesting.
And I didn't sign the contract, I probably just had it in my bag for a couple months.
And we're all like, oh, that's just banging that run.
We pushed each other to become better.
Front three tailed it.
Season 5 of the F and Rad Snowboard Podcast is sponsored by Wired Snowboards, The Boardroom Snowboard Shop, Crow's Nest Barbershops, Anon Optics, Tribute Board Shop in Nelson, BC, Grouse, Cypress, and Mount Seymour, Vancouver's local mountains. Thanks to all our sponsors, and special thanks to Volcom Outerwear for setting me up with a sweet kit from the future. Wired Snowboards is a Vancouver-based company that designs and builds boards here in my hometown. Along with riders like Chris Duffesy and Chris Brown, Wired's team includes Graham and Grantley Simodian, who I was lucky enough to catch an all-time sled day with up Brandywine near Whistler, and I can tell you these guys rip. They were both on the Vantage series, which is a slightly directional everything board with a bit of taper for extra float and pow, and I was on my Chase 162, my perfect tool for deep blower pow, and I was insanely stoked on my choice. I had the best run of my life, first run, right out of the gate. And then I watched Graham do a mind-blowing line I didn't even think was possible. He rode it top to bottom flawlessly. Wired's putting itself on the map by building amazing boards without the price going through the roof. Please go to wiredsnowboards.com and get yourself your new dream board. This week's guest is one of those deep-in-the-scene guys, Benny Pellegrino. He's been a team rider. He's been a shop manager, and now I believe he's brand manager at Nitro USA. Blue Montgomery, one of the owners at Capita, mentioned I should talk with Benny, as he's been in Utah for a long time, and he's been a gatekeeper for generations. So I linked up with Benny, and Blue couldn't have been more right. I needed to talk to this guy. He took me up Snowbird, blowing my mind, showing me around Snowbird's world-class terrain, introducing me to their marketing department. It was just so fun to ride with Benny. I instantly made plans to return next season. And after a full day of snowboarding, we returned to his house for this amazing conversation, which covers a lot of the bases of where snowboarding's at these days. Here's Benny Pellegrino. Alpha Coffee is unreal.
Bacon breakfast
dope.
Burrito.
What's the guy? Who's the guy that made
God,
that
I
place?
Don't know his name, but when it was small, it was kind of a shitty location. He didn't really have it built out inside to where there was like adequate seating and whatnot. And he must have hired someone to help him design it.
Yeah.
Because now the space is like nice. It's got all those windows, workspaces everywhere.
Right. It's so
food.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And it's at the corridor, the gateway.
It
too.
Is.
To just the best shredding
and
in the world.
And it's going to be super cool to have. I was there not too long ago meeting somebody for work, for a quick work meeting, and I was like, God, it'd be really cool if they had a deck right here.
Yeah.
You know, right there on where we were sitting.
Exactly.
Out, overlooking.
Yeah.
And so they have a couple of small picnic tables on the grass there in the summer, and one of the employees is out there. I'm like, you should tell your boss to build a deck. She's like, it's coming.
No way.
This summer. I was like, oh, God, you guys are screwed.
That's unreal. Yeah. Utah is just beautiful. Flying in, I was like, holy shit.
It's pretty cool,
this.
Huh?
Look at the mountain range.
Yeah.
Like, are there people that just go out and bag peaks all the time?
Oh, yeah. Summertime, I mean, it's massive. I mean, there is a huge backcountry community, too. They call it, I mean, the mountains are called the Wasatch.
Yeah.
And they call, because there is so many enthusiasts here, they call it Los Angeles.
That's rad.
Yeah. But the cool thing about that is if you aren't the peak bagging type, a few days after a storm, there's a skin track everywhere.
Oh, yeah, right.
You don't got to put too many skin tracks in.
Yeah, that's super sick.
Yeah.
What about snowmobiles? I know there's
no,
a zone.
No, none allowed in Bigger Litton. There's actually one tiny little drainage in Big Cottonwood, and I don't understand how the fuck it's in that kind of a loophole.
Yeah.
But in the summer, you can ride motorcycles up there, and in the winter, you can ride snowmobiles. But as far as every other canyon, it's called the Tri-Canyon area.
Yeah.
Mill Creek is the first canyon, then Big Cottonwood, then Little Cottonwood, and they're all non-motorized.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
non.
So it's everybody splitting and skiing.
Exactly. But once you get over the crest of the Wasatch, into like the Park City side of the range, there is an area called Guardsman's Pass. But most people go down to American Fork Canyon, which is south.
Yeah.
Down by Provo, or north up into Logan. Those are the key zones. Yeah,
you've got everything here. You've got high mountains, and then the cities are in the, you know, basically below the snow zone.
Yeah, that's dope.
And then you've got hot springs everywhere. I went to hot springs yesterday.
Springtime's kind of the most magical time when you can rip. Like, you'll have this insane deep pow day, and you'll come down and sit, take your boots off. You'll, like, be sitting on your grass.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, beautiful grass. Yeah. And you're, like, taking your boots off and everything out front. And people, you're just sitting out front for, like, an hour. And you're, like... And typically, the storms come in and dump a ton of snow. And the moment it gets sunny, obviously, it's spring. The temperature rise real quick.
Yeah.
But the storms vacate really quick. So you'll be sitting on the grass just staring at the beautiful mountains.
That's the thing that's been...
It's pretty cool.
That's the thing that's been blowing my mind this trip is that... Because when the storms hit Vancouver... Whistler, Baker, they can stay for a month.
Yeah.
You can go a month without seeing a ray of sunlight.
We have a lot of sun.
Yeah, that's crazy. So does Tahoe.
Oh, Tahoe's right? Lots of sunshine.
How nuts is that? Yeah. Like, why would you not be in that zone? Our zone is so gray.
Yeah. Yeah, but you guys get so much consistent snow. There's obviously a magical thing about the Northwest,
too. Oh, yeah. The Northwest is... I love it.
The green, the oxygen, the air. Like, it's... The water. There's water everywhere.
So you came north, right? Like, because you grew up in Northern California.
Northern California, yeah.
In the that boom of the 70s to 80s skate boom? Or the... No, it was the mid-80s.
80s, yeah.
Yeah, the 80s boom.
Yeah. Northern California. Pretty healthy skate scene.
Yeah.
We didn't have any skate parks, so... There was one in Santa Cruz. And that's funny, too, because... You talk about, like, skate parks in the area now. I mean, we have just in the Wasatch Front, I think there's, like, 13 parks.
Oh, wow.
And some of them, like, aren't the best.
Sure.
But I always tell kids, I'm like, well, I would have driven 5 fucking hours to get to this.
To get to that. Right.
You know?
Kids are spoiled.
So,
oh, my God.
At the skate park, find the good thing about the skate park.
Yeah.
And ride that.
Totally. Of course.
Or think of it as, like, if you were to show up behind some industrial complex... Yeah. And that was sitting there. You're like, what a cool skate spot.
And it's that perfect, right? Like, that's a thing. Yeah. Perfect park.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So, had there been parks in Northern California?
There wasn't anything. There was one in Santa Cruz. It's called Derby Skate Park. It's kind of an iconic one. You've probably seen it in a ton of videos. And then there was a super duper sketchy thing at the top of Hunters Point District in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Which is a dangerous area.
Okay.
And it was called The Dish.
Yeah.
And we would go there sometimes. I got mugged twice there.
Wow.
Yeah, twice.
That's fucked up.
As a 14-year-old kid once riding the bus up there, we would take BART into the city. Then we would jump on the Muni, and then we'd jump on the bus to try to get there. And as soon as I got off the bus, I got mugged.
What did they take?
They took my wallet. They took my wallet, and I was just like, you can have the... Obviously, you're going to take the money.
Yeah.
Can I just have my wallet back? And that time, they just, like, took everything out and threw it all over the place. And me and my friend both got mugged. The second time, we drove a car there. And as soon as we got there, we're skating. All of a sudden, we hear a smash. They smashed our window. But I think that was the way they were getting us over there.
Right.
The moment we got over there, we were surrounded, one gun.
Oh, God.
And they just wiped us all out and took everything out of our car, too. They left us with car keys only. Didn't give us our IDs or anything back.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was fucked
up. How old would you been at that time?
I was 16.
I don't think I could go through a mugging now. I might have been able to do it back then.
Yeah, it was
just because you're like, you don't... I don't know. Who knows? That does not sound like fun to me.
No, it was pretty fucked up. It was scary. I mean, and that's... Obviously, I didn't tell my parents. I would never tell my parents where I was going.
That's
insane. Thing about it, the access that we had as like 14-year-old kids to be able to jump on our local community bus, which would take us to the BART station, which is like the mass transit of the whole Bay Area.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And those take you straight into San Francisco.
You know, the Tahoe one's called the TART.
Yeah, like, totally. No, that's Tahoe not, area, it's pretty yeah, weird.
That's a bad
but
name.
But it comes after BART.
I'm going to go ride on the TART.
Yeah, it's not a glamorous at all.
So you could take that all over the place.
Yeah, and we would take that to different cities. That's how we just explored.
Yeah.
We would get off on exits that we, if we get off on an exit and it seemed too sketchy, we'd go right back to the BART station.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we get off on other exits and just go skate around and find spots.
That's so sick.
It was cool.
And so what's the first snowboard that you wind up seeing?
The first snowboard was ninth grade English class, Wayne Schlosser and Glenn Gravett.
Nice.
We're two kids that we were all skaters, and these guys kind of skated. Like, they had skateboards. They weren't skaters. Right. But their parents, you know, they grew up as skiers.
Yep.
And their parents, when they were growing up, they've met some dudes at, I think they said they were at Boreal. And they must have ran into some Sims team riders.
Yeah.
So they came back with this catalog.
Oh, sick.
Or a pamphlet. It yeah. probably was just a pamphlet. In my mind, it was a catalog.
Yeah.
And so we were looking through it, and I was like, what is that? And they're showing me how cool they are, and they're telling us about people snowboarding. And they're like, we're going to get them. And I was like, wow, that's cool. How much are they? And they were like, $349 or something. I was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
So then, like, a couple years later, you know, that's the first time I remember seeing anything snowboard-related.
Right.
And then, randomly, every once in a while, there'd be something in the back of Thrasher magazine, I think. I swear it was Flight.
Yeah, Flight had... Yeah, you're probably right.
I swear it was Flight.
Flight was doing pretty good there for
a couple
years.
I don't remember Sims ads. I don't remember any other ads. But
there was that one...
I do remember Flight.
There was that one Sims Caballero on a Lonnie Toff that looks like he's kind
but that
of
was,
coming off a...
Just a photo, though. It wasn't.
It was just a photo.
Yeah, it wasn't like an ad.
Maybe it turned into an ad for probably for like a mail order snowboard place. We also have snowboards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then from that, like, just one of our other buddies, Ray Dillon, his parents were going up, and he had already gotten a snowboard because they used to go skiing all the time. My family weren't really skiers,
right?
At all. Like, when we lived in New York, we went skiing a couple of times. My parents never came with us. We rode these buses from the schools.
To like Lake Placid kind
no,
of
No, we'd go to Hunter Mountain.
Hunter, yeah. It's tiny.
Mountain, what's it? We used to be called Vernon Valley Great Gorge.
Yeah.
Which turned into Mountain Creek.
That's crazy.
And it was called something else too. Something, I don't remember what. But one of my buddies was like, yeah, I'm going snowboarding. And my parents, he was super loaded. His parents owned the Ferrari dealership.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, we're going to Tahoe. And I had my parents buy me two extra snowboards so you guys could come.
What?
And I was all, sweet. I'll go snowboarding. That sounds fucking awesome. I saw him and I start, you know, remember seeing him in the mags, whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We went. And the first time we went, I wish I had pictures of what I was wearing. I was wearing, like, I didn't know. Like, they said you needed boots. And I didn't even know what a Sorel was. You know, I'm living in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, and he's like, you know, like winter boots. So I told my dad I need winter boots. So I went and got these like super high Timberlands. So I went snowboarding my first time in Timberlands.
That's amazing.
On a Burton Elite 140 with the Skegs on the side. And it was fucking kind of icy conditions and those Skegs. Like I couldn't.
Yeah.
I didn't click. And then finally we were in line, and some dude on a Sims looks at us and goes, it'd probably be easier if you took those Skegs off. And we're like, what do you mean? And he's like, you can take those off, and your boards will work better. And we're like, fuck, let's go do it right this second. Because it was
amazing.
Just, I think it was skateboard hardware.
I could see that.
I'm almost positive it was 3/8 inch hardware. But we took those off, and wow, snowboarding was a
night
lot cooler.
Yeah.
A hell of a lot cooler. Yeah. And I still... don't to this day understand what the fuck the Skegs were for.
Powder tracking.
There
was
guess,
a lot of stuff
but
like
would that work?
It's kind of the same as the nose thing, like the rope. Like when you have a board that was designed after a snurfer, you, like everybody's got a rope, so you got to have a rope.
Yeah.
And then you drop the rope one day and realize, oh, the rope's not doing anything.
Yeah, fuck the rope.
The rope's no good.
We're probably better than the rope.
The rope was to compensate for the fact that the Skegs didn't work, so
yeah.
You'd have to pull the nose one way.
But I remember
the other.
We took them off all three boards, and anytime then we thought we were the cool kids on the block, and we'd tell other people, you should take those things off. You know?
It works way better with those off.
And it was, though. It was night and day. I just couldn't believe how much better it was.
Did you guys keep the boards after, or was that so that
no?
Family
so my
just
buddies would keep
boards.
Them, and so then we would go whenever we'd go snowboarding.
Yeah.
Or whenever he was going to Tahoe, you know, he'd invite. You know, he couldn't take more than two of us, and we had a group of friends. So you know, but eventually it was me and my friend John Harris, and him were the ones that would always go. Like we got hooked,
it
and
took,
so we started. Yeah. Then we kind of got into it. Like we were like, snowboarding's fucking cool, but we live in the Bay Area.
Right.
3.5 hours away. So then, as we started getting up to being like 16 years old, we're like, we could drive there.
Rad.
You know? And
yeah,
so
of course.
We would start driving there, and we'd tell our parents that we're spending the night at John's house. John would be spending the night at my house.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
we'd be spending
yeah.
the night at Ray's house, and we'd be up in Tahoe.
That's amazing.
And we'd get some... the cheapest hotel. Kings Beach we go to all the time because they got all those little hotels.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so yeah. I saw them while I was
they're
there.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were dirt cheap. I mean, it was like $19 a night.
Totally.
And we would just go there. And
it
we
was
would...
tough when you were a kid to get someone to like, you'd have to like leave your car keys there or something.
Oh, yeah,
to
totally.
Be like, we
yeah.
don't have a credit card.
Yeah.
We got $20 between
exactly.
the three of us
yeah.
for the hotel.
100%.
And they're like, well, you're going to wreck something. And we're like,
yeah.
no, we'll give you, I'll leave you my driver's license. I don't know.
And it's so crazy. And then we would meet people, and every once in a while, you know, we'd meet some girls, and we could stay at their place or something, you know, random.
Yeah. yeah.
But it was nuts. We would drive all the way to fucking Kings Beach, and the only places that allowed it back then were Donner Ski Ranch, Boreal, and Soda Springs.
So where would you go?
Donner was our spot.
Donner sounds like the spot.
Yeah, Boreal was like, it was okay.
Sure.
It was kind of boring. It was like all kind of the same terrain.
Yep.
You know, no matter where you went.
Totally.
Where Donner had like depth and
interesting
like
stuff.
Features.
Yeah. I went and rode at Sugar Bowl, and then I heard that Roach and Dave Cioni were over at Donner, and I went and looked around and was like, wow, this is... because they're right next to each other.
Oh, yeah, it's really
it's
cool.
It's really beautiful terrain.
And Donner Ski Ranch was cool. Like, we got super stoked on that. And then there was another little resort in... two resorts that are south of Tahoe, but still up in the Sierras.
Yeah.
They don't really connect at all, but Bear Valley and then Dodge Ridge.
So crazy.
So we would go to those ones, too.
Hills there are there.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And there's a lot of them.
A lot.
Yeah, it's really neat.
And they're really variable, too, in what
Yeah, and then we'd find Homewood, and then we found, like, I guess right before I left is when they started allowing it kind of at Squaw Valley.
Yeah.
And I think that was even before Sugar Bowl. I'm wanting to say it was before Sugar Bowl.
I know that the Western Front, which is, you know, early before Fall Line Films,
mm-hmm.
kind of Fall Line Film stuff, that was all filmed in the first spring that they allowed it at
Tahoe.
At Squaw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was all basically filmed in that like April. Like
yeah.
April they said we're gonna allow it. I mean that movie I watched it over and
over.
Yeah,
I remember
again.
It.
Yeah, and I think there was a song in it that said Squaw Valley and there was like crazy music in it.
Yeah.
It was really like industrial music. That's what
yeah.
it was called.
I don't know if you ever met Jerry and Artie that made it.
I called Jerry when I was down there and I was going to go out to his ranch.
There were some interesting people.
Yeah. He's got horses and stuff. He lives up where...
They didn't come across to me as snowboarders at all.
Interesting.
Know? They were filmmakers.
Okay. Oh,
Do you know what I mean? Like,
who told me the story?
They weren't snowboarders. They were filmmakers.
Farmer told me the story. I don't think he said it on mic, though. Jerry and Artie used to work at Squaw filming people for the mountain and then making a little edit for the end of the day when you would go to leave. They'd have set your turns to music and stuff, and you would buy their little movies,
edit.
Right?
Yeah,
you buy your edit of yourself and your family, and they went straight from that. As soon as snowboarding arrived, they made it, you know.
Western Front.
Western Front's one of the first snowboard-only films. There was, like, bits in ski movies, but that was... you know, an hour feature where it was
cool.
just snowboarding.
Then the Sims movies, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
It
was the first movie that wasn't a team-affiliated video. So you had all different boards in there and just like...
Totally.
It was like that first...
That's true. I can't think of another one before that.
Western Front, right.
Yeah, it was dope.
It was, and there was good riding in there.
Chris Roach, Frontside Air, is wearing fucking North Face jacket.
Yeah.
Multicolor North Face coat.
Yeah. Is he on that Sims?
Yeah.
And
I think
then,
he's on a half pipe.
Yeah.
The Sims half pipe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Damien and Dana are up there. And Dave Cioni, I think, is on an avalanche
Cioni's
at that
in there,
time.
Yep. And the hatchets.
The hatchets are both in there.
I don't know if Tina's in it.
I don't know if there's a girl in
Heather Mills is in it for a minute.
Is there?
Yeah.
Heather Mills. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And Roach was on Kemper or or Noah was.
Yeah, Noah was on Kemper. Wearing those big fucking gloves.
Oh, those huge,
ski race gloves.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome.
Oh, man, they were horrible.
I got those after from that.
Did you?
That was a terrible story. What happened was there was a guy, Shane, at my high school who claimed he could just steal anything. So I was like, can you steal me those gate bashers?
The Roach gloves?
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, these ones? And then next thing I know, I had them and I owed him money for them. Yeah. But I was like 14, 15 years old. I didn't have any money or any way to get money.
Yeah.
And he, like, being affiliated with this guy coming up to you every day going like, where's my money for those fucking gloves, man? And this is the best part, is that finally I, like, because my parents were like, where'd you get those fucking gloves?
They're so-and-so's.
And so he took them back. And so this random headbanger smoker guy would wear those neon Roush or Rakeley,
just
whatever they were.
Just walking around.
Just walking around Sudbury, Ontario with these gloves on. Like,
well, that's classic.
That was his thing. Yeah.
That's classic.
Kept his hands warm.
But yeah, we would go to Tahoe on the weekends. Anytime I heard anyone going to Tahoe, or we'd find out, you know, somebody's parents have a Tahoe house.
What about day passes and stuff? How expensive was it?
God, I don't recall. I'm wanting to say like Donner was like cheap, like $12 to $15
that's
on the
amazing
weekdays.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And like, I'm wanting to say like maybe $25 on the weekends.
Right. So it was totally doable.
Yeah.
Would you ask your parents for cash? Say, hey, I'm going to the mountain. Can I get $50 to get to
Yeah, or whatever. We're going for the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, that's rad.
It was cool.
Yeah, that's such an awesome time. So you caught the bug.
Yeah, and we literally, one high school winter, I think I went 10 times.
That's pretty great.
That's fucking huge for getting from the Bay Area.
Yeah, when you think about it, that's almost every weekend of the year.
Yeah. It was insane.
2.5 months.
And then
of
I got
weekends
hooked beyond that, you know?
Yeah.
But we fell in love with Donner Ski Ranch because it was a scene.
Yeah, there was a scene there, right?
You know, and you'd see Terry Kidwell every once in a while. Because by then we started, like, finding these movies, like that Sims movie, you know? I remember the Sims movie for sure. There was the Kidwell jump.
Yeah.
Where he does that rocket air, like, that nice floats away forever. And once we figured out where that was, we're like, oh, my God, this is that spot, you know?
That's amazing.
And then you'd see Palmer. We'd see Tina there every weekend.
Where's Wine Rock?
Wine Rock's at Soda Springs.
At Soda Springs.
Yeah, and Soda Springs, you'd only go there if there was a contest. I mean, we weren't even into contests then.
Sure.
But I traveled there a couple times when I moved here to Tahoe, and the contest would be at Soda Springs. I'm like, fucking, why Soda Springs?
That's where they're
And it makes
doing
sense because they would allow you to do whatever you want at Soda Springs.
Oh,
it's
right.
Just one lift.
Yeah.
Like one lift.
They do
and
the
there
retro
is like,
there.
Yeah, there's a rock over here and a little tiny forest and that's like that's it.
Is
that's
that Wine
Rock?
Rock?
That's Wine Rock.
That shot from that is burned in my head.
That's 40 feet.
It's huge.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone ever actually landed that.
Probably not. I heard it's flat as hell.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone actually ever landed that thing.
Well, the biggest cliff that I can remember ever was Steve Graham and Damien Sanders at Donner.
Oh, yeah.
I would have liked to go and look at that.
You can see it from the road.
Can you?
Yeah.
That huge cliff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like when you're going up to Donner Summit from the Tahoe side, if you look over there, you can see all the lines.
Oh, cool.
It's all right
there.
I think
I came in from the lake side, from Donner Lake. Is that the other
way?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
You can see all the from Interstate 80.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of lines where people would like, it would be faster to like, have a car stop, and you jump out.
And run up.
And or just, you know, ride down and then hike up
down
stuff.
Yeah. Unreal.
And so that was pre-people understanding snowshoes or snowmobiles or slipboards. You were, like, boot packing, you know?
Right.
That's all there was.
Boot packing?
Horrible. Horrible. So we got hooked, man. We would fucking go as much as possible. And then we all got our own snowboards.
Yeah. You know? What did you get?
I got probably the worst. I traded it for an ounce of weed. I was selling weed at that point. It's an entrepreneur.
Nice.
You know?
Yep.
And so then one of our friends, Wade Spire, was skating this vert contest in San Francisco. I think Sessions was a sponsor. I'm wanting to say Sessions. sponsored the contest at Kezar Stadium. It was a vert ramp with a deck on one side, no deck on the other.
Oh, my God.
And he won his division.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what it was, some division. And he won a snowboard.
What board was it?
It was a Sims 1710 Blade.
Oh, wow.
That was my first snowboard. That's, but I didn't care. You know what I thought it was? Sims.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know that there was different Sims. It had the same graphic as the cool ones.
Totally.
Because it had the Kidwell graphic. It did. The red with the stripes.
Yep. That's
epic. So I was like, fuck yeah, I got a Sims.
That's incredible. So you traded him an ounce of weed for that.
An ounce of weed for that, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
And it came with bindings, too.
Yeah, Sims bindings.
I guess they all came with... You bought them together? I don't remember.
You bought them together for the first bunch of years. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there was no a la carte.
And then Burton stayed that course for an extra year or two after everybody else.
And then Sims started realizing that you could sell different types of bindings and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
No, you know what? Because in the early 90s, everybody had their own hole pattern. They were kind of fighting.
True. Yeah.
Like Barfoot, Moro.
Yeah, this is the 80s, though.
Yeah, yeah. In the 80s, it's
I'm going to say it was all five hole board at that point.
That was the first consolidation for sure.
Yeah.
But still, like, Moro never had five hole boards, I don't think. They went straight from there.
That wider.
Yeah, you'd have to drill
pack,
out.
Yeah.
You'd have to drill out a Burton binding to just put your bolts into Moro one.
Hmm.
And Sims was the same. I don't think Sims ever had any five hole stuff.
I don't remember.
They had their own Sims bindings with slots on them and
with those stupid ridges on the.
Yeah.
There was no padding. They were just plastic.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't hurt. I'm sure maybe they did.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
That was the least of your worries at that point.
Yeah.
Your boots hurt.
It's because I was riding fucking Timberlands.
How many years did those last for you?
2 years, man.
2 years? Oh, yeah. My God.
And those guys, awesome. Then once I got to Donner Ski Ranch and started figuring it out, I'm like, fuck, no one's wearing Timberlands.
Nobody.
Yeah. And so I was like, I'm getting a pair of Sorels.
Yeah.
You know?
And some ski boot liners.
Well,
and some
I didn't
duct
even
tape.
Know that yet at that point. Like, we had no idea about ski boot liners. I didn't know about that until I got here.
I had to go,
we all rode straight felt Sorels.
Yeah, felt Sorels. I rode felt Sorels one last time because I forgot my boots two times in one day. We were at Baker, forgot my boots, and then when we came back from Baker, they had lent me just nice boots. They were fine.
Nice.
And then as we're driving into Vancouver, the night lights are all up in the mountain, we're like, we got our gear, let's just go straight up.
Yeah.
So we went up, and then I realized, oh yeah, I forgot my boots this morning. So then I had to beg at Cypress to get rental boots, and they would only give me the felt line ones. So that was in 93. I rode one night on felt line boots, and it's undoable. It's not
zero power.
The bindings don't fit that small.
Yeah.
So it was just loose boots with
crazy.
Your feet could pop out of the boots and bindings.
Was blown away, you know, thinking about that the other day. I was like, how in the hell did we do that?
Right. We were fighting. The reason we were fighting the ski resorts to let us on was because we didn't have gear that was good enough for ski resorts.
Yeah. Didn't understand it, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, we were like not.
Well, we thought we could go down the hill, I think.
Yeah.
Like this way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But once you had to go like this way, like in that way.
Fall line was fine until it got too. I remember watching people just like sit on the tail of the board and use their hands to slow down, just drag it all the way down the hill, bombing down the hill.
And sketch.
So sketch. So like the mountains were right to keep us off at first, for sure.
Yeah.
But then by 94, 95. The gear was good.
Once it was good, I think. And I think it's... The word wasn't out. It wasn't as easy for us to figure out that, oh, there are snowboard boots.
Right,
know?
Right.
Like, I had no idea about snowboard boots. And then Burton, when I saw snowboard boots, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get snowboard boots for sure.
Yeah, Dale boot liners. We were talking about that today,
you know,
how good those were.
It was crazy how much better everybody got once these small advancements that were monumental...
Totally.
You know, that would increase control and allow you to be able to control the board so much better.
Really small incremental change over all of the 80s, all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
with edges getting put on and side cut being, you know,
thank God out. I never dealt with no edges.
Yeah, I've
I guess I did, actually. The 140, when I took those skegs off, didn't have edges.
It was just wood.
It was just wood. And the 150s that my friends were riding had edges.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but then we were always riding, I don't know, I guess I never experienced ice. Maybe I did, who knows? Maybe we'd stopped that day or something.
You just don't,
You just didn't go, who knows? But once I got on that, I went from riding a 140 to a 171.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know.
Could you make it go?
I was like, wow, I'm fast.
I was beating
everyone down the hill because I couldn't fucking stop the thing very well.
Of course you couldn't. It's humongous.
And then you look at them now. I've seen them occasionally. And I can't. Their side cut's got to be like 11 to 12 meter side cut.
I think you're right. I think you're
like,
dead
that
on.
Thing does not turn.
No. So you're either fish carving everywhere, just slushing around.
Yeah. And,
or you were going so
arcing,
fast.
Arcing
these huge three turn runs.
But like I said, I didn't care. I had a Sims.
Yeah.
That's all that mattered.
Lasted for a while.
Until I moved to Utah.
So you moved to Utah after high school?
High school. I went to 1 year of community college at Diablo Valley College.
Yeah.
And my oldest brother was going to college here in Utah. And he's like, you should come check it out. You know, it's pretty cool. My dad really wanted me to go to college and do something. And so I came out and visited him in, I'm wanting to say it was 1988.
Oh, wow.
I think it was 89. No, it was 88, because 89, 90. So it was the winter of 88, and I came out, and he was in a fraternity.
Rad.
And so I stayed at the frat house, and I played poker every night and took everyone's money.
Nice.
Which was awesome. And they kept wanting me to play. Like, you're playing again tonight.
Even though you were winning the whole time.
No, because they wanted their money back.
Right, right. Yeah. So they were just like chasing
totally. Good they money just with wanted to make sure I stayed. But I came out and visited my brother. We're supposed to come out, I think, for like 7 days. Stayed for 13.
Yeah.
Because it snowed a bunch.
Rad.
And it was really cool.
Where did you ride first? Brighton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brighton was, I swear, it was $9.
Oh, yeah.
Weekdays, that's nine awesome. Bucks.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And we rode the Millie lift. There wasn't even the lifts. The other lifts weren't there yet.
That's incredible.
On the other side, there was only two beginner lifts over there.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That was
cool. And so I fell in love with it. I'm like, fuck, this is great. I'm coming back out. And the next year, my idea was to come out and get residency. So school would be cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, in-state tuition. Out-of-state tuition is really expensive.
Oh, right.
And my dad was like, if you're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. So I came back out here in 89, 90, and I stayed for 5 months, but I got a bunch of utilities in my name.
Nice.
And did all the things you had to do to try to get residency.
Yeah.
And then when I lived at my brother's house, and they just kept my name, the utilities under my name for the whole year, so I can come out to school the next year.
Rad.
So that winter I came out for probably like 3 months. December, January, maybe it was closer to 4. Because I remember I came out like December 1st and was home in April.
Wow.
But I came out, lived with my brother and a bunch of his friends. And I don't know if you've ever heard the name Andy Brewer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so Andy Brewer is one of the first people I met.
Cool.
And I met him through my friend George Johnston, who snowboarded with him. And he's like, you'd get along with Andy. He loves skateboarding, you know?
Yeah.
And so Andy and I hit it off, and I was with him like every fucking day.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. Like every single day. I learned how to snowboard by following him.
Cool.
Right when I got it, like, you're getting rid of that fucking snowboard.
Yeah, of course.
And lo and behold, what the fuck did I buy? A K2 gyrator.
It
was horrible.
God. Yeah, those were
and
bad.
I show up and they're like, why'd you get that? And I was like, I thought you said get something better. I thought this was better. They're like, no. And then they ended up, I think they let me take it back.
Oh, that's good. Remember those ads? Those ads almost got me too. Like,
and the nose was huge. And
they were terrible.
It was so stiff.
They were cap and they were
horrible.
Frilly graphics on them.
Then I got a Kemper Rampage.
Oh, that's good. That's a doable board.
And that was it. Well, I mean, everyone was like, get a Kemper.
Chunky tail.
Because Brewer just got sponsored by Kemper at that point.
Oh, Brewer was on Kemper.
Yeah, so he was
the freestyles were better boards.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have one.
Yeah, you remember that?
I think it was only the 165 at first, though.
No, there was a 55, that blue year.
Was it the white one?
The white one.
The white one was the 55. They didn't have it.
I think so.
I got a 160 Rampage.
I'm pretty sure the white one was 155, because when I was a kid at Christmas, we went...
It was, because I remember Tina Bassett rode the 55.
Yeah, we went down, and there was one in the store, and it was like $100. Like, I was trying to convince my mom to buy it. It was maybe 2 years old by that point, and the guy in the store was like, if he rides this thing, it'll break right in half because it's too small for him. And
lo and behold, it probably would have been perfect.
Perfect, and you couldn't break that board if you chopped it with an axe.
Yeah.
They were like
Kevlar.
Yeah.
Bulletproof.
I'm still, 30 years later, mad at that guy.
Yeah, right?
I wanted that board so bad. Instead, I rode like a 175 kick.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was... giant, way too big.
Not the best board.
No, but it was fun. So
Brewer told me to get. I mean, those guys all just coached me into trying to get different stuff. And then we got the bindings. Remember, you had to drill the bindings.
Yep.
And then they had the third strap. The green bindings was the first year.
Yep.
And they're like, cut the straps off.
It's scary to cut those straps off. I remember.
Yeah. Then I was. Then we just do it all the time. You know?
Yeah. Cut them off. But the first time you go to cut them,
you're like, ruining them.
I'm ruining the bindings. They obviously have these on here for a reason.
Yeah, and I remember I wouldn't do it at first, and I tried to go ride with them. I'm like, you're right, those things suck.
They suck. Don't so need bad. Them. Yeah.
Drop the rope.
Yeah, drop the rope.
Cut the straps. Yeah. Drop the rope.
Pull the skegs.
Yeah.
Cut the straps.
Exactly. So once I got here, snowboarding became a whole different world. Following Brewer, just free riding, you know? Not so much like... And I think it was they were so much better that I was just doing everything I could to keep up.
Right.
You know, I'd be eating shit, you know. And
yeah, just trying
to keep up. They'd wait for me, and as soon as I get there, I'd be like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, okay, let's go.
That is a tough spot to be in. Yeah. I've been that guy at Mount Baker where you're just worn out and the people
you
are ahead.
So much. It's just so much easier to just follow.
And go. And
you know
go
what I mean?
It. Yeah.
And that's all.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have to worry about... style. I didn't have to worry about form. It was just keep the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to come snowboarding with us, we're not going to wait for you all day.
Yeah.
We'll wait for you a little.
Yep.
You know, but I picked it up pretty quick from skateboarding.
Because how many people out here were snowboarding at that time?
Not a ton, no.
A handful.
There
of people.
Was, yeah, exactly. I mean, it was more of an emerging scene, you know?
Totally.
There were still winter sticks around. You know, a lot of people still rode winter sticks.
Did you know anything about that whole thing?
I didn't know shit about it. You
right.
know? I knew from Andy.
Had he winter sticked?
Yeah, he rode for winter stick as well at first. Wow. He rode for him. That was his first sponsor.
Yeah.
And then he rode for Kemper.
Yeah.
Then he rode for winter stick again when it was the second coming of winter stick.
Right, with the round tails and the... Or with the kick tails and everything.
With the modern versions, you know, of snowboards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And him and Ox and...
Oh, yeah.
Tim Osler and...
Yeah, the board was called, like, the Extreme or the Kevlar or something, and it had...
Yeah, the Winter Stick Extreme.
You know what? I rode the Winter Stick Extreme at opening day at Baker. Brand new board from the shop because the owner of the store distributed Winter Stick. And it looked like a badass board.
Yeah.
It was like stiff and a good side cut. And it was dicey that day, a lot of sharks.
Yeah.
And I broke the edge out on the first day of a brand new Extreme. I remember it was like a $700 Canadian board.
Oh, shit.
It was like, so we did the repair on it in the shop and sold it to some poor person.
Thank God.
Broke it in a day. And those boards had a 2-year warranty. That was the thing, was that they were... They were, like, guaranteed better than everything else out there because they believed in their product. There was a lot of crappy shit.
They were made, I want to say they were made in Austria.
Yeah, probably.
I'm pretty positive they were made
They
in
were
Austria.
Well designed.
They were. It was good, good snowboards.
They took a run at
art
it.
Art department, everything,
They took a run at it. They had a good catalog, you know what I mean? They were trying to put, they were all obviously, like, free ride boards.
All of them, yeah.
They didn't have like
that
a
guy. The guy who was in charge of it,
team.
Dwayne. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they did. They had Tim and Brewer and, I mean, not Ox. Ox was a big mountain dude, but Tim
Osler.
I rode
with Ox last year.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
He's the best.
Yeah, he fucking still shreds. He's a good buddy of mine. Yeah. He spent a lot of time here.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I mean, the whole times of him being a pro snowboarder was pretty much spent here.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still charging right now. Like,
I know.
Charging.
I know.
We did elf shoots on like this. It was like full 100-mile-an-hour wind blowing in our faces the whole walk over there. And then I was like sketch out. You saw me ride today. I'm like, I'm going to be like a bit cautious.
Yeah.
Pull like an easy line. He took like a legitimate line.
Oh,
down.
He's insane.
Yeah, like a solid mandatory 20.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of a just like random day with a random dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd you just ran into him?
I was like kind of longingly looking at the Hemispheres hike.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, come with me. I'm going somewhere cool. And I was like, all right. And he's like, at the top, I think he was like, I kind of needed someone to come with me because I don't like to ride it by myself.
Dude. I fucking love him.
Yeah, he was gnarly.
So back to Brew.
Yeah.
Like I would just be following Brew around and I would just brew it. I didn't have a car. Brew would pick me up in his little white Toyota truck.
Did you guys have a pass somewhere at that point? Or was it still Brighton?
I don't even have a season pass yet. Those guys might have.
Yeah.
I don't think I did. But Brewer would take me everywhere, you know. He'd take me up. He was from Ogden, so we'd go to Powder Mountain.
Sick.
You know, and he'd show me the backside, you know. His truck was just unstoppable, man. It was a two-wheel drive truck, and he always had big, gnarly studded snow tires in it.
Yeah.
And then he'd have, like, you know, 50 pounds of sandbags over the backs of both back tires, and it would just go everywhere.
That's incredible. Yeah. Was it rear-wheel drive,
rear
too?
Rear-wheel drive,
that
yeah.
is so sketchy.
Just everywhere.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I couldn't believe it.
That's rad.
But we would go everywhere, and then when he got sponsored by Kemper, you know, he'd have to go to all these contests in Colorado, California, whatever, and I'd be like, I'm going with you.
No way.
Yeah, so I would just go with him and sleep on whatever hotel floor.
Like those heyday Kemper houses? Like
oh, yeah,
with,
totally.
With, like, Tina and Andy and...
Yeah.
And that team.
Exactly.
Martin, did you ever...
Martin Gallant?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's incredible.
And their team was insane.
Their team was nuts.
The Pappas brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Frickin' the Curtis brothers.
Noah was on there at some
Noah
point.
Noah was.
Yeah.
That was a little later.
Yeah.
But insane.
Yeah.
But I would just hang out with Brew everywhere. And then he was a skater, so I skated with him. And
that's rad.
He kind of let me... We just hit it off. I don't know why we hit it off. Who knows? But we became, like, best buds.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and he just showed me around the ropes of Utah. And George Johnston, too.
Yeah.
He's an iconic dude that helped me through all kinds of different changes in my life in snowboarding just because he would just be at the right place and give me an opportunity to do something, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's a good dude. And he was a dude. He was that guy that I was telling you that Richard Chesky would always hook up with.
Yeah.
And he just had a ton of photos. There's one iconic photo of him, like, sliding a handrail with a big 90 sweatshirt on.
Yeah, I know that.
It was a Rossi ad. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was.
It was a big Rossi ad.
That's him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's an awesome dude. I still talk to him all the time. He owns the Milo Sport in Northern California.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were at Milo for 30 years or something.
That was from George, too.
So that means
95.
Okay. Yeah.
The fall of 95.
Unbelievable.
I was looking for a job in the want ads.
Yeah. No way.
You know, and I'm just sitting out, and I lived in George's, he owned a house, and I lived in his, he had a basement apartment, and I rented that apartment, and I was just sitting outside, having a cup of coffee, looking at the paper, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, looking for a new job, and I'd been working up at Snowbird before that.
Like lifty or like?
No, housekeeper.
Oh, wow.
Like, you name it. Housekeeper, yeah. Freaking dishwasher.
Yep.
Prep cook. Like, all kinds of different jobs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So many different jobs just to get passes and whatever.
Totally.
But I think I skipped around. Doesn't matter.
It's fine.
Yeah,
we're good.
Yeah, so George Johnston was like, you looking for a job? And I'm like, absolutely. And here he comes. Hi, Mama. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Eric.
Nice
to
meet
you.
Did you guys get beer?
We're just having
wine,
a beer.
Water.
Here comes Evie.
Sorry, I should have told you the kids are coming in.
That's okay.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah.
All good.
Hi, Benny Bear.
Hello, Evie Bear. How'd the wedding go today?
Oh, it was horrible.
You got married today?
No.
Not
me.
I thought you were in a wedding dress.
My friend Kate and Lisa.
They got married. Are they older or are they your age?
My age.
Oh, is it the second recess?
They did get married, and then some people crashed the party.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wedding crashers.
Nice. Tomorrow.
Oh, so they're doing a redo. They're getting married again.
Oh, yeah. My Lord. It's got to be perfect, huh?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to make it, or do you think they'll get a divorce?
Never, ever. Kate doesn't even want to, and then Lisa's making her.
Are you going to get married, do you think?
No.
You don't have a plan?
No. When I'm 30.
Nice. She's going to wait.
So in 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sure.
That makes sense.
Awesome.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
It's nice to have these thingies on.
Hey, sis.
Watch it from hearing that kid.
Go in your rooms and do your thing so they can get on with their podcast.
Doing what?
But that's how I got a job. He asked me. He was running. George moved out here, and he was into snowboarding, but then he got super into windsurfing.
Okay.
And Milo Sport was a windsurf shop.
Oh, at no that way. Point. So the Milovich connection with Milo Sport, we don't have to put this in the show, but
no, there is a big connection.
Because that's his name, right?
Exactly. And it all comes from Dimitri was one of the guys that helped start. I mean, he wanted a spot to sell his windsurf product because he designed windsurf products.
Before he did the snowboarding or after?
During the same time.
Right. So he had a board sports oriented.
I think he was designing them like, you know, he would windsurf in the summer.
Yep.
And then obviously they couldn't in the winter.
Yeah.
And so they picked up designing winter stick snowboards.
It's an unbelievable story that is.
And who knows, maybe that's where he came up with the idea for that powder skeg.
Yeah.
I would imagine that had something to do with it for hydrodynamics. Yeah. Who knows?
Right.
Know? So he was, he helped start Milo Sport. And then once his engineering firm took off, Radius Engineering, he didn't have time for it. They kept the name.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been that name ever
since. Because it had been a couple of years, and they built up a customer base.
Exactly.
And
he's like, I'm going to do something else. And Dwayne Bush, who helped him start it, was like, okay,
I'll keep doing this.
Stick with the store, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so George had become friends with them because he got into windsurfing through snowboarding. Maybe Milo Sport sold winter sticks. And regardless, he ended up getting into windsurfing. And then when skateboarding, you know, in the late 80s was still kind of growing in the area. It was a little bit late here. It was kind of dying.
Okay. Yeah.
In California.
Yeah.
But everything took 2 years, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Because
so it was still going.
Magazines haven't come
whatever,
out and all that.
Yeah.
Videos hadn't made it here or whatever.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
so
that's
it was still
crazy
going pretty
awesome.
Strong. And George is like, well, we're trying to get more into skateboarding. You're a skater. Maybe you should come work for us.
Yeah.
And so I started working there, and I was helping them try to set up like their whole skateboard section.
Oh yeah, so you were a legitimate skateboarder.
Yeah,
you could pick the
exactly.
brands.
Exactly. So I started
go to the
helping
distributor
them,
and
yeah,
grab all
and
the
figuring it all
trucks
out.
And
yeah.
wheels and stuff. That would have been a lot of fun, actually.
It was cool.
Too.
I mean, I had no idea what the hell I was doing, but
right.
I knew which stuff to buy.
Yeah,
buy the cool stuff. You
of
know,
of course. Yeah, that's
you know,
sick.
And I've been in enough skateboard shops all over California. You know.
Just make that. Do that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was, that's how I started at Milo Sport. And again, that was because of George. Like,
right.
you know, George kind of took me under his wing. He was one of my brother's best friends out here. That was my connection. George grew up in California too.
Oh, sick.
In the Bay Area, in my same high school and everything. So my brother and him came out here. My brother didn't really get into it. He's a snowboarder, but he didn't like super get into competing and the scene. You know, he was going to college and he'd snowboard on the weekends.
Did you get a sponsor at that time? Like, or were you getting shop boards or like...
For skateboards?
For snowboarding. Or you had already been sponsored for skateboarding, right?
Yeah, snowboards. My only legitimate real sponsor for snowboarding ever was basically Joel Gomez from Sessions.
Sessions, yeah.
Yeah. And
was
then
it Santa
he,
Cruz stuff as well
exactly,
at that time?
Exactly, yep.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'd get Santa Cruz boards and
Oh, that's the
stuff.
Corey connection.
Exactly, it is
right
the Corey
there.
Connection.
Yeah.
And not only that, skateboarding was more the connection for us.
Right.
And then in two separate worlds, we both started
How random is that?
Riding.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's totally random.
Yeah, so you would have been on the team when it was the guys I was talking about
Oh, yeah,
at
the
lunch,
heyday.
Like Camille Brichet and Bertrand.
Totally,
and,
yep.
Roach was on there, and yeah. Cardiel, and
everyone.
Just such a rad
Kidwell.
Team. Kidwell was on there for a bit.
Yeah, Kidwell had it. That Outland jacket that they had in it for years.
Oh, yeah.
You'll remember it. It's the one with the stripes.
Outer Limits jacket, yeah.
And that's what it was called, yeah. The most and then they would just jacket. Change the colors every
right,
year.
Right, Jamie Lynn's jacket was eventually just
his
like...
His blue one.
Yeah, was eventually...
I had that blue one.
Yeah,
I
yeah, with the white stripes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those.
And then the next year, it was the same exact cut with gray stripes.
It was the exact same cut.
I thought it was genius. Yeah. They should still do that.
That was smart. Yeah, that coat went for maybe 3 or 4 years. It was like our best seller.
I think longer.
We would sell out of that jacket so early in the season.
With everything
and
sessions.
It wasn't the right jacket for where we were from.
No,
it had
way.
Like,
it was insulated.
It was insulated,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was hot.
And it was
hot. It was even too hot for here, to tell you the truth. I remember sweating my ass off in that jacket.
Yeah. And it was long.
But
it was like
care.
Trench coat length. It was sick,
care.
Dude. I love that jacket.
And yeah, so it was Joel.
Yeah.
And I met him at a trade show through Matt Goodman.
Oh, rad.
Matty Goodman's just like, Benny Shreds, you should put him on.
Nice.
And we had already known each other. And that's I also knew Joel already from skateboarding in NorCal.
Mm-hmm.
From hanging around in San Jose days around the San Jose warehouse. And
so you get the endorsement from Goodman. And
yeah. And Joel's like, oh,
team.
Yeah, I know Benny for sure. I didn't know you lived in Utah now.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah. Did you have ads or anything running?
Never any ads, yeah. I was kind of the underground dude.
You were the riding guy.
Exactly.
The guy who rode.
I hate
like
photos
if somebody
still
came
to this
for
day.
Yeah. If somebody said, let's do a photo shoot, you'd be like, go for it.
Yeah.
If you can get a shot of me riding,
straight up.
That's fine. And then you would be at the bottom 100%. And they would be like, maybe I'll set up on that thing and you can
and
come
I,
by. You're like, if you want to sit there and wait for me to come by.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then nothing.
I was just never into it. It just never made sense to me, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
even
skateboarding, it's like you never stopped skating and the photographer would just shoot photos.
Right.
It wasn't like a shoot.
Whereas snowboarding, that's what it was.
It wasn't
the whole
a shoot.
Time. It was a shoot. Right. You would go off into some weird place and someone would build a jump, one
yeah,
hit, and
exactly.
you'd hide a kid.
Exactly, and that was just yeah. wasn't me. It was yeah. more about riding a line.
Yeah, I always was that. I was like, let's get a picture. It doesn't matter if you land. Like, I was like,
yeah.
let's be in a magazine.
Yeah,
I really
I didn't
wanted
care.
That.
It was
yeah.
like the last thing, you know?
Yeah, well, you're riding here.
Yeah, and
you're
then it was
riding.
Just at the same time, it was like, you know, my friends would come from out of town. And when my friends, you know, like Rankwit would come, he didn't want to shoot photos.
Right. Totally.
You know? He's yeah. like, I'm coming to hang out with you. And the last thing I'm doing is, you know, we're not shooting photos or Hetzel or anyone, you know?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I'm coming to ride with you. Like, I already...
Sick.
I just was in Aspen for 2 weeks shooting fucking photos.
Yeah.
I don't need to keep doing that, you know?
It's boring. Shooting photos sucks compared yeah. to, like, snowboarding.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then that's the way Brewer was, too. Like, Brewer was kind of the underground dude. You'd get photos of him, but it was the same thing. Like, he'd last about an hour. And
yeah,
he'd be like,
yeah.
we're not shooting... Put the camera away.
I gotta go. We've yeah. got... There are good runs.
We're
can't
shredding.
Do this stupid
we're
thing.
We're not stopping all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's, I mean.
And I don't know what it was about it. And maybe it was just, I just wasn't for me, you know? Like,
yeah.
I just, still to this day, I don't carry my phone. Like.
Right.
I never stop. People are like, let's film this. And I'm like.
No.
I mean, sure. How long is it going to take? And it's different when you do. I mean, I think I had the experiences a few times of with people that are like changing lenses, pulling out their light meter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I can't sit here.
Yeah,
you know,
I hear you, dude. I totally.
And now,
you
go out with people like Andrew Miller or Chris Wellhausen, and those guys literally have their cameras in their coats.
Yeah, they know how to do it.
Like you stop somewhere,
yeah,
and the camera's out, and they're like, "Okay, go, I'm ready."
Yeah, that's right.
You're like, "Holy cow, this is way better," you know?
Yeah.
And they're still like, then you try to go with the next person. You're like, "Oh, everyone must be like that," and then you have that experience again.
Yeah.
With a person that opens their backpack, pulls their camera out.
Checking the light meter.
Yeah, and you're like, this,
changing
I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah, I've definitely heard a lot of people, I think somebody said it in the last couple of interviews where it was like, all right, that's a wrap. Like, we'll film until noon, and then we've got this helicopter all day, but we're not going to waste it on this crap.
Fully.
Like, let's
start going.
That's
going to be, like, the last place I ever want to film.
Yeah, you know? Like in a helicopter, like, right.
We're paying for this thing. Put it back in the air.
Yeah, hearing Jim Rippey's experience of, like, filming with Standard up in Alaska, right? They would take the riders would pick the line, they'd drop the riders on the line to just sit there in the freezing cold waiting for the cameras to get set up.
Yeah.
Like they might go shoot Victoria over here and then they're going to shoot, you know, Noah or someone over there. Oh, and they'd post
up the Barbie angle.
Yeah. Or
and you'd be on different peaks.
No, or you'd be just stuck on your peak with your feature, building it out and getting ready. And then they would come back an hour or two later and be like, you ready to go? And you'd have to have like sat there and kept yourself warm and like built your feature and then be like, okay, I'm ready to go. And they'd be like, hold on, changing the lens. Yeah. Like it was not the kind of thing what you imagine Alaska to be, right? Which is just heli laps.
And it just doesn't resonate with me.
No, I could see that. I don't think I would want to be out there by myself. Yeah. The helicopter takes off and you're an hour away from, you know, the closest person.
So I never got into the whole filming thing.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah.
Did you brand manage or get involved with... No, because you were working at the shop.
I was 100%.
Which gave you access to all the next year's gear.
And not only that, connections with industry and riders.
Mountain passes and industry and riders and the trade shows.
Cultivation of riders that we did through the shop is insane. You know, yeah. I don't know if you've ever looked at...
No, name them. A few. Name a couple.
Dave Downing, Brandon Ruff, Mitch Nelson, Jeremy Jones, J.P. Walker, Mikey LeBlanc, Tim Osler.
Oh my.
Sam Taxwood. God, who? Travis Parker.
Jeez.
I mean, the names Chris Engelsman. Like the names would just go and go. I can't think of them off. Yeah. Tonino Copain.
But that's
Josh Roberts, Mitch Nelson.
Oh yeah.
Brandon Bybee.
Oh wow.
Jason Murphy.
Oh, Murph. Yeah, that's awesome.
And there just keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then their friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you kind of in
you had the
Utah
culture.
Being such a hot spot, mm-hmm. You know, I met everyone from every, like Blue said, I've been through every version, every wave.
Right, right.
You know,
how many waves have there been, do you think? There's been four or five?
Probably four or five.
Yeah.
Did you watch that? Salt Lake Spotlight video.
No,
Transworld did right before they.
No,
quit.
I didn't watch it.
You should check it out. It's pretty cool. There's a whole history.
Yeah,
those guys did an insane job. Joel Muzzy did it, and it was a Red Bull thing.
Oh, rad.
Red Bull paid for it. It's weird because there's no Red Bull logos. I think Red Bull at the last second.
Yeah.
Pulled out.
Oh.
And had already paid them.
Right. They're like, this isn't our project.
The Salt Lake Board of Tourism took it on, and they use it in advertising.
Oh, sick.
I don't know where. I've never seen it, but they ended up paying for it, too. But
right.
Muzzy was here for probably 5 months.
Oh, sick.
Interviewing, like, because every time he interviewed someone, they'd be like, you got to talk to this person.
Right.
You got to talk to this person.
Totally.
But he's got every single wave in there.
Yeah, good. Good.
I mean, there was the, you know, the Jeff Davis, Andy Brewer wave, you know?
Riding with Jeff Davis today is all time for
me. Wasn't it cool?
That's just, like, the best. Yeah. He just was up there. It was so great because... To make sure that he met up with us, you went and you grabbed his board.
Yeah. Well, he's a buddy, too.
Yeah. So then he comes out and he's looking for his board all around. He's like, what the fuck?
I'm notorious for fucking with people.
Yeah, that's great.
And just on that nature, you know, just...
And then the way that you guys charge the mountain, you know, like just like it's obvious that you ride here all the time and you ride to the conditions, right?
Like 100%.
So if today is a groomer day, then we're riding epic groomers, getting the little
pillow
pops everywhere that there's a little bit to have
exactly.
and riding fast and having fun. And he's got to be, he's 50
something. He's my age.
Yeah.
He just turned, no, he's 51.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a year older.
And he's ripping.
Yeah.
Ripping. Yeah. And you're ripping.
You never stop.
There's nobody on the mountain that's rolling laps that fast.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool.
You'd
be surprised. There's a lot. At Snowbird, there is.
Right. Yeah, of course. But
and
today
not everyone.
Like kind of like,
there's the Dead Lung crew that takes 25 minutes to get down a lap.
Dead Lung stuff is killer.
You know?
We're riding Chip's Run most of the day today. And, oh, man.
You know, people like myself.
Yeah.
I think from trying to keep up with Andy...
Sure.
And Ox and our crew. It's just what we did. Like it was it was about crushing laps, you know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
And
then
people can't keep up.
You become so strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you had to ride to my speed today
because
I'm like,
Like, Jeff and I would have been going a lot faster.
Yeah.
The whole day.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. That's what I said. It's funny, as we're on our way up the first one, I'm like, oh, man, these guys at Whistler, they ride too fast. And you're like, we ride fast here, too.
Yeah.
But you were kind enough to take it easy on me.
But at the same time, too, it's always trying to never, I think you, in my mentality, like, from years ago, getting stuck all the time in flats.
Oh, God.
You're like, I don't want to get fucking stuck.
No, you don't want to be stuck in flats.
I want to make sure. And not only that, but if you carry more speed, there's more lines.
Right, exactly.
Because you can go higher on walls or things that you thought you couldn't hit.
Become a hit.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. You know? You hit a few things today where you did, like, legitimate airs at speed. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's crushing it. Yeah, that was fun.
And we just never have stopped doing that, you know?
Right, right. How many days a year do you go out? Or do you go a couple days a week still?
My goal on any given week is a minimum of three.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Saturday,
Sunday. Saturday, Sunday, and then some weekday. And then if it's a big cycle,
yeah,
you know, we'll ride in the morning, then go to work.
Yeah.
Or we'll take off early and try to get up to go night riding or something.
Yeah, I don't think there was a person that we saw today that didn't ask about Milo.
Yeah.
Because you were there for a long time. Right, and now you're at Nitro, which is, it's a rad fit, right?
Like, it is, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so many people, when I made the switch, are like, I'm surprised you didn't do that a long time ago.
Is Nitro based out of here? Or
For the U.S. So our U.S. offices are here in Salt Lake.
Right.
And then Canadian offices are in Edmonton.
Okay.
And then the mothership, or the headquarters, is in Oberammergau in Germany.
Right, because there's a lot of posts from team stuff over there, right? Like, when you guys get together as a huge company, it's over there.
Everything's done over there.
They've got good mountains right where they're at.
Oberammergau is there's beautiful mountains, but with climate change and whatnot, they've had some, definitely they're at a lower elevation.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to snow a lot more at those lower elevations,
right?
So some of the lower lifts don't open all year sometimes.
Got it. Yeah.
The upper lifts, you know, have been opening. They're right by Kitzensteinhorn, too, which is the highest mountain in Germany.
Sick. And
they just have typical Germans, they put a tram to the top. They're like, why wouldn't we? It's the tallest mountain.
It's a different vibe over there, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
No safety.
Like, they're just like, no, they're like, it's beautiful. It'd be super beautiful with a tram on it.
That's awesome.
So that's what they think.
And did you have a hand in? Okay, so no, the Nitro thing has just been churning away,
the entire time. Yeah, and we've always been at Milo. Not always. I can't say that. Salty Peaks was the main our Nitro dealer for years.
Yeah,
and the owner there is definitely a different person, and he has a tendency to develop these incredible relationships with brands and then get to the point where he thinks that his thought, not his thoughts, like his ways and his interests are more important than the brands.
Got it.
And then the brands are like, no, dude, this is a partnership, you know?
Right.
You're not going to get this discount and you're not going to get these terms. And like,
right.
We can't lose money to be in business with you. And so brands tend to migrate to other places.
Yeah.
And Nitro migrated over to...
Takes a certain type of person to own a shop and to run a shop.
Totally.
And you have to be able to think about money because you've got employees and stock and stuff. So you're...
Yeah.
And then, if you get too cozy with a brand... I can remember that happened with Ride, with the shop I worked at.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, the one year it was like we sold 500. The next year we sold like 1,000. So, like, the third year we ordered 2,000.
Yeah.
And then it shit the bed. There was no...
Totally.
There was no snow that year. It was oversaturated. And then he had to send some back.
And then
that was a nightmare.
Relationship gets a little crazy.
You know what the thing with like, as a Grom in the shop, when that happened, you know, after those Jason Ford boards, you know, like a couple years after...
I was heavy green boards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to ruin the relationship. But actually, the owner knew, like, hey, look, I made you a lot of money. and I'm going to continue to make you a lot of money. It's not my fault it didn't snow.
Yeah.
This is the hiccup.
We need to get through this.
And your rep really pushed on us to get more boards than we needed.
That's what, like, what I'm saying is the owner of this other store doesn't treat it that way.
Oh, okay.
It's more like, I'm sending everything back. You're wiping my bill. It's not like, it's like, no,
there's a give and a take. Yeah,
we're both
take
risks.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And it has to be mutual. And if because it didn't snow, we're not going to be the ones that not make money.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, so the owner of the boardroom he's good. Like,
it's Murray, right?
Yeah, Murray. Yeah, I think when I was there, I my concern was always about the coolness factor, right? Like, and I'm like, it's not that cool to tell Rye we're sending a couple of boards back. And my numbers may be way off on that, but I think the numbers were pretty high. Like,
totally.
But really, he's a businessman.
Yeah, that's, he understood. Totally.
He rocked that out. Yeah. He was able to do it.
That's awesome.
If it was up to me, I would have spent all the money on snowboarding and heli. So
for sure.
We talked about that a few times. most of the guys who are addicted to powder snowboarding or even just snowboarding, it's like, you couldn't give us a bunch of money because we would just waste it.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
We'd stop working.
Right away.
Yeah.
The only reason you work is to have money to pay the bills so you can go snowboarding. If you had that money, you would, I don't know how short-sighted I would be probably.
Well, you'd be different now, but in those days,
100%. You look at Farmer. Farmer's no different now. Like he's looking at it like he's got to replace two hips, so he's thinking, okay, I got to work a full year.
Yeah, my buddy did it, and it's insane.
Replacing
he did
two
one,
hips. Yeah,
and felt so much better. He's like, I'm doing the other one.
That's awesome.
And literally, we were riding downhill bikes 3 months later.
Yeah, yeah, it's like they can do it. They
3 months later.
Yeah, yeah,
crazy,
it's nuts.
Yeah,
but yeah,
so I agree.
He's
changed it. Swap those out. Technology is here.
Farmer's like 55.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's ever worked a 9-to-5 for a year.
It's not that I know.
His whole life. That's nuts, right? Yeah. But and he gets it. He gets Tahoe when Tahoe is firing.
I know.
He gets it.
He's after it. These guys came out here last year and crushed it.
Yeah.
Had a cycle. We got like 60 inches in 3 days or something.
Yeah, that's somebody you don't have to slow down for.
No, absolutely not. You just lose him. You take a run and you're like, where's Farm? That's the classic thing. Yeah. Look around, you're like, where's Farm? He's always at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
telling us we blew it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I had that experience with Bass.
You guys blew it.
I had that experience with Bass where I thought I was waiting mid-mountain for him.
Yeah.
And then I look and he's at the chairlift going like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, how could he have possibly gotten there that fast? It doesn't even make sense. But I mean, obviously, I'm not that fast a rider.
Yeah, that's classic.
But he was on like a... like a Sims Kidwell remake, like the exact shape.
Oh, the new ones. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, he had one that he had just gotten made himself because he wanted that shape
of
board to ride. Yeah, maybe he made it. That's probably what it was, a damage, yeah.
Nice.
Like a damage incorporated.
That guy is funny.
He won the Craig Kelly Award last year or two years ago, and nobody deserves it more than that.
Oh, totally. He drives the bus. He does. That's insane.
He's a sweetheart of a human being.
Yeah. It seemed like everyone was very ecstatic that he got it.
Yeah. Oh, you go to Baker Bank.
I do.
And you've got rolls of duct tape, you were saying, too. That's nuts, man. Yeah. That's what happens when you ride this fast.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. It's just, it works out for my style of riding.
When you go there, do you train for it or you just...
I don't.
You just go and go.
Just go snowboarding.
Yeah, go and go snowboarding.
That's the best training, just go and snowboarding.
Go super fast. Yeah. Take pow laps in between.
Yeah, and just...
don't stress.
Edge hard.
Yeah.
You know? And the key, I think, and it's from watching Temp, is the turns are not where you slow down. You slow down in between the turns.
Right. Right.
Because if you don't slingshot out of a turn, then you're not... if you're trying to slow down in the turn, then you get in between them and you're putting.
Totally.
But if you slingshot a turn and you can scrub on the way into the next one, and then slingshot that one and scrub and just keep that momentum going the whole time.
That's the money.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Right.
And do your best. And that makes no sense either, because if you do watch Temple and you watch Blair... they definitely ride the outside lines.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last couple of years, I don't know if it's the way they've set the course or whatnot, but Seth and those dudes take the inside lines.
Right.
But they're so freaking strong they can. No other human can do that.
That's such a different strategy,
like Mark,
right?
Fawcett, Seth, all those dudes, like, they put those freaking border cross boards on edge and they can cut through like the gnarliest stuff.
Right. So it's the slingshot action versus the
their version.
The shortest distance between two points.
Yep, exactly.
I
prefer watching the slingshot style.
Of course. It has more.
How insane was it for Dirksen to win?
Yeah, rad. That
was like
so
the best
rad.
Thing ever.
Yeah.
The house went apeshit.
Yeah. That's incredible.
I was ecstatic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you've been riding with these legendary guys for 30 years.
They've just all come through here, you know?
Yeah.
Over the years, everyone's come through here.
Right. Yeah, Hetzel.
My first, like, experiences were, like, with Hetz. I was going to go into Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Andy and Tom and Dana and Mikey and Brett Johnson and Tina. That was the first crew.
Yeah.
I was hired as their guide.
Oh, no way.
At Snowbird, yeah. Andy Brewer got me the job because he rode for Kemper, too.
That's insane.
And so then Brewer and I think, actually, no, Brewer had already screwed that up. I think he'd gotten kicked off of Kemper by then.
Did he?
But we were still hired to be their guide, so they paid us $100 a day and got us a room at Snowbird.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we would just guide them around. It was with Rob Gracie.
Oh, wow. No
way. Rob was shooting the photos. And that's how I met Tom and those dudes. And then Mikey, Tina, and Andy, and Brett, I think, all moved here the next year.
Yeah, yeah, that was Utah years for those guys.
Yeah, and those were our riding partners. And then that brought Palm, and that brought, you know, everyone.
Brad.
Under the rainbow, you know, Sione and freaking Steve Graham and
Stevie.
Bud Fawcett and like...
Lived here for...
They didn't live here, but they would just
come through.
You know?
Right, right.
They'd
come, that would
be part of their tour now.
Yeah, because Tina's place, Mike...
I own
Mike
a condo Tina's. In the same spot.
Oh, rad.
That Tina,
yeah.
Same exact spot. It's called The Orchard.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. Yeah,
and it's so crazy because I kind of had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And when I was looking for a condo to buy, it didn't occur to me till like... 3 days after I got it, and I'm walking around, and I'm like, holy cow, this is where Tina used to live. And I just I went over and snapped a photo and sent it to her.
Oh, that's so rad.
She's like, what are you doing there? And I'm like, I bought a place here.
That's so sick.
Yeah. But those guys came out, and...
Adam Yauch
like
was
said, oh, yeah, he was my
them?
Homie.
Oh, that's dope.
He was the best. I'd go start working with him all the time.
He got into it. Like,
oh,
he
loved
into
it, man.
It.
He freaking lived at the hotel up at Snowbird for a month.
Unbelievable.
And he would do it all the time. Like, he'd come out.
Yeah.
And then he would rent. Then he rented rooms down, you know, out from other people and whatnot.
Oh, that's so sick.
He'd go play music.
No way.
And the craziest thing is, like, for the first probably, not 3 months, maybe like the first 30 days.
Yeah.
You know, because it'd be like Christian Fletcher, Nathan Fletcher, like that whole crew, Mark Scabs, Gabriel, and all these people would come from Southern California, and it was just this odd... constant flotation of, like, you know, and Farmer and Parada and Russell and, like,
yeah,
you know, everyone,
yeah,
coming through here. And Adam, you know, was just another dude. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was just like some pro shred, you know, from somewhere else that I hadn't met yet, and his name's Adam, you know, and I'd go snowboarding with him.
Yeah.
And then, like, someone came up to him in line and said something, and I just looked at him and I'm like, that's you? And he's all, that's me, Benny. You know, I was like, oh, cool. And it didn't matter, you know? I think that's why he loved it here.
Right.
None of us treated him like, you know, he's used to getting ushered into a backstage at a concert.
Totally.
Or whatever, you know? And like,
yeah, they were huge. They were just
here,
massive.
He was just our friend.
Yeah, he was just Adam.
Our bro.
He's riding with his friends.
He'd buy dinner a bunch, you know, randomly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
He's like, I got it. And you're like, oh, cool, thanks.
Sure,
you know,
man.
But great dude. Amazing dude. Just fell in love with the shred.
That's such a time period here, right? Like, so people are just learning how to be pro snowboarders, really.
Yeah, I guess.
As far as, like,
I think it was, like, a lot of people's first big moves. Like, you know, I think that everyone thought the move was to go to Colorado. And I think that, like, when you spend a bunch of time, like, at Copper and frickin' Breck and... stuff like that, when you come out to and you have a ripping pow day at Snowbird, you're like, what am I doing there?
Right.
You know, and I think there was a mass exodus out of Colorado.
Yeah, because the first generation of pro snowboarders, everybody lived in Colorado.
That was the spot, you know?
Yeah, someone
from Farm, Parada, all of those guys.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, this is not it.
It's. Do you think that it was because of those Breckenridge, like TDK?
100%.
Like that? Those
completely, because people thought, you know, like, wow.
Wow.
And it looked glamorous.
It looked insanely glamorous, yeah.
Half pipe, people, and sunshine, and people partying, just like that Cabo San Lucas shirt. You know?
Yeah.
You thought it was like that.
Yeah, totally.
And I think you get there, and it's freezing cold, and like it's just brutal, and it's flat and windy, and there's nothing worse than December in Summit County.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I remember hearing that they had a hikeable pipe with lights on it 24 hours a day or something like that. I remember hearing
the mother country.
Yeah, like it was like,
you're like, oh my God, if you want to learn,
you go there.
Yeah.
If you want to become a pro, you go there.
Yeah, and I think everyone just, you know, a lot of people left and went to Tahoe and here.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Tahoe was already there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of those people from Tahoe went to Colorado. I think they all just went back home.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people moved here.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And, you know, Jerry and Artie came through a lot. MacDog came through a lot. The Hatchets filmed a ton here.
Yeah.
And there was, like, secessions, you know, from, like, all the TBs and whatnot. There's always segments, some sort of rider that would be here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, MacDog with Jeremy and JP and Mitch and Brandon and Jason, you know.
Yeah.
He came out for them. They were going to film here. They're not traveling anywhere. Those guys didn't like to travel at first, you know.
That's incredible, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
They weren't down. They're like, why would I go anywhere? I can just go in the backcountry of Brighton right
there.
Yeah,
every time I go somewhere else, it sucks compared to here. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, being here just, again, like through, that's just a magical place.
Yeah.
It's, you know, incredible. And whether people are drawn here for industry or me for shop life or whatever, it's like,
mm-hmm.
You have these experiences, I think, and people keep wanting to come back and have those experiences again, and people keep coming back, you know. Andy Hetz comes back here every year. He's got a timeshare at Snowbird. They come twice a year,
yeah, with the kids and
you
everything.
Know, and now Maddie's coming a bunch again, and now like Farm's coming back, you know. Yeah. And yeah. Rowan's coming back, and everyone's just like, oh yeah, we forgot about it for a little while.
Yeah, yeah, it's
like
still
you said,
here
you get caught. Exactly. It hasn't changed.
Oh, that's
still
amazing.
Dope, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I came here, like I told you, about 5 years ago, maybe seven now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, maybe I won't
not
throw those
magical,
guys
not the
under
same
the
magical
bus,
spot.
Yeah, it was like we were partying. That was the agenda. But I really wanted to go do what we did today.
Yeah.
Like, today was more challenging terrain, a better use of the mountain than the four or five different hills that I went to last time.
Yeah, completely.
I actually came here and kind of was like, well,
what's the big deal? What's the big deal?
Because I just didn't have the right guides.
Totally.
No offense, Seth, you're a great guide.
Yeah.
Andy too. Andy from the shop.
Yeah, Andy Varner.
Yeah.
From Max.
It's so much fun to ride with. Those guys know where to go. They know where to go.
Andy's had a path there for as long as I've had one, you know.
And
on this side.
Maybe the snow didn't really line up too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so you're like,
it just doesn't
weird
snow as much over there.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't. For real.
I'd like to talk about the new Woodward thing, because to me, like,
insane.
If I don't know about it, and I'm from where I'm from, and I snowboard as much as I do, most of the listeners all over the world will have absolutely no idea what it is. Like, Woodward Copper is the one that I have heard about.
Yeah, so
Woodward
Copper is, it's just an, Woodward Copper, what they did is they built their own little facility, and they have a smaller version of what we have here now.
Yeah.
So they've got, you know, a foam pit and everything's just on a smaller scale. Their idea there is Copper is a powder corp resort.
Okay.
And since they own Woodward, you know, they're like, let's try to incorporate some sort of synergy with our winter business.
Right.
Because Woodward, in general, in Tehachapi and in Pennsylvania, are summer businesses.
Was it skateboarding?
Skateboarding.
And gymnastics?
Skateboarding, gymnastics, cheerleading.
Right.
And BMX, basically.
Right.
Those are the ones. And
right
now, of course, they've gone into parkour, rollerblading,
okay,
and scootering.
Yeah, and
mountain biking too now.
Right. And so I thought of Woodward as just like, I don't know.
It's funny because I don't think people...
A skate park or something.
It just seems like a little daycare.
And so I'm at Boreal.
To a certain extent.
And I pop my head in to see what's going on in there. And I'm like, okay, they've got a cement skate park.
Yeah.
First of all. And then I look over and I'm like, what the hell is that guy doing? Yeah. He's on roller skis.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen before. But this is like...
Yeah.
Imagine a guy going back and forth on two giant banks. That's not a half pipe. It's just like two giant in runs.
Yeah.
And in between are a few features.
The pump bumps.
And he's pumping these bumps, and like one of them's like a tabletop that you got to air properly.
Yeah.
And I'm watching going.
He was doing this on the skis?
This is on those skis.
Crazy.
He's crushing it. Wow. I was like, this is nuts. And then they've got like a big, you know, big air jump into a foam pit.
So this one is double the size of their current largest facility.
Oh man. And this is okay, so I notice this place as I'm driving out to Hot Springs. It's not in Park City. It's on the outside.
Yeah. Five minutes out of Park.
Yeah.
Well, not I can't say 5 minutes, like into Park City proper, 15 minutes outside.
Yeah.
And so it's legitimately placed in between Park City and Salt Lake City for a reason.
Yeah, it's only like 20 minutes from Salt Lake City.
It's really quick.
Proper.
And
right.
State of the art everything.
Right.
I heard rumors of them being over budget by a large margin to the point where the people that were in charge were like, they would start doing something and they'd be like, that doesn't look that spectacular. What could we do to make it better? And the guys are like, well, I could do this.
Yeah.
And they're like, do it.
Wow.
You know, and they start building this asphalt pump track and they're like, that's just like when we've seen, like, what could we make to make it better? They're like, well, we could make it 40 feet wide.
Oh, wow.
They're like, do it.
Holy geez.
So anything that they project they would start, they'd get the green light to really make it something special.
I saw it from the highway, and I got to tell you, as a park from the highway, I was like, oh, I need to go there right now. So I called the number for Woodward's Park City, and they're like, we're going to open soon. Like, it sounded like they weren't even open yet.
So they opened, grand opening was on Saturday.
Was Saturday, so they haven't changed their message yet.
Oh, yeah.
There was nobody on the hill yet.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. No, there was nobody on the hill. I was just calling to be like, look, shot in the dark here. Can I come ride that crazy park that you have? I'll talk about it on the show.
Because
it just looks
insane.
I just want to do it, you know? Like, are you thinking we should go there right now?
Let's go. If you come back, I guarantee you there'd be a possibility.
Yeah. Well, let's try and do that because I'd love to bring my kids and everything. That's like, like you said, the daycare thing, like you could see while you're watching when I was at Boreal that there were people that just got dropped off there for the day.
100%.
Their parents are wherever they are. The kids are learning to do backflips, running up a wall
on
to do
everything.
A backflip. Yeah. They're like,
oh, I'm going to try the roller skis
there's
today.
There's a 7-year-old kid bouncing on the trampoline with like a little BMX
the fake
bike.
Fake bikes, yeah.
I'm like, what is that? That's insane. And then there's like a 50-year-old dad on his BMX and he's out of shape and he's fat and he's still ripping it. I was like, this place is awesome.
So they did that times two and then they built an outdoor skate park too.
Yeah.
So right outside, like when you open the doors to go outside, the whole area where you're not supposed to skate at any other resort is all skatable.
Oh, man.
Like anything you could sit on is skatable.
Unreal.
Then you cross this bridge across this little creek.
Yeah.
And there's another skate park out there.
No way.
And that leads you on to the hill where the lift is.
Oh.
So come spring, there's going to be people, like I said, doing everything.
So you're going to have to bring like a minivan full of
everything
junk,
or a trailer.
They're going to have lockers that you just like rent.
And I was wondering, like, because it's based on a subscription thing. So there's got to be some sort of rental too. Maybe you have to pay extra for that. But it would be pretty amazing if you paid an extra $49 a month or something that you didn't have to bring any gear.
You just leave your gear there.
You just use theirs as long as it's state
theirs,
of the art.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I would imagine they're not going to have crappy snowboards.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm imagining they're going to have great bikes and skateboards. And
so tell me your understanding of this subscription model. Because
it's $100 a month, and you have to do for a minimum of 3 months.
Yep.
If you continue forever at $100, that'll lock you in at that rate.
Wow.
So if they ever have a rate hike,
yeah,
you'd still be at $100.
Per month. So it's like,
Unlimited.
Your pass the is moment, $1,200 a year, and then you've got all the skate park stuff and all this equipment all the time, 12
months
a year.
And that's why I was telling you about like that. I'd heard from a few people there that they're thinking about, because they are going to the subscription idea, incorporating like an actual gym.
Right.
Which would, right. It wouldn't, I don't think it'd be like a huge one, like a Gold's Gym or something.
No, but it would be.
But a small enough one to where a parent could be like, okay, I'm taking Johnny to the skate park. I'm gonna go to the gym.
That's a great idea.
And you got an hour.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know?
That's so nutty.
Yeah, so. But it's just, it's an insane.
And a day pass is like $85. So exactly. Why wouldn't you get the month?
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah.
And even, I think that they're going to hook like out-of-towners that are here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because their kid's going to be like, I want to go there. And while we're in here for 5 days, I want to ride there every day.
Right.
You guys can go to Park City. I want to go there. And they're totally. Like, okay, well, I want to pay the $300 or whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because
if
then, I don't.
And then they're thinking, okay, maybe we'll take a trip back here again.
Exactly. Right? Johnny's already got the pass there.
3 months? Yeah.
And so if their family already has the Epic Pass,
yep,
they're going to come to Park City anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Tack on an extra $100 a month, which is nothing for somebody that's traveling.
Right.
To anyone, it's nothing.
I think more
it's
than...
It's $3 a day.
Right,
you know?
Right.
That's insane.
I think more than the pricing of it is that there's this place where kids are learning to do things.
Everything.
That are impossible.
You're going to be... My friends that are working there now, I'm like, I expect in 6 months that you can do a backflip on everything.
Yeah, totally.
I want you to be able to backflip a scooter, a bicycle, a skateboard.
Skis.
Those roller skis. Everything.
So they have a roller snowboard too?
Oh, yeah. At least into the foam pit, you'd better be able to backflip
all
those
things. Yeah, why not? Why not just sit there and obsessively flip?
Two of them are already hurt.
That's the problem that... Okay, so we went to Federal Way Trampoline Park.
Yeah.
And I found a whole bunch of... problems, you know what I mean, just from jumping around enthusiastically. And then the next I heard, like, trampoline parks were just getting sued all over the place. Kids are dropping 20 feet to concrete
flat,
right? So
so this one, luckily, everything's padded, and they have like in the like foam pits there's like a lifeguard per se.
Totally. I heard that guy tripping.
Lane one, you're up. Lane two, you're up. Lane three, lane four.
That guy was tripping. What are you thinking, dude? Like, hey, kid with the bike, stop that or whatever. Yeah. That would be a nightmare.
I would not want that
situation.
Job.
Yeah.
But it's just such a cool opportunity and facility for our community here, like, to be able to have that.
Yeah.
Like, all my friends with kids are just like,
it's
oh
a complete
my God.
Change. Yeah.
And
it's
like,
a complete
they're
change.
So excited, but they're almost overwhelmed.
That's what I'm feeling
because
right
they're
now.
Like, they're going to want to go there all the time. We ski at Snowbird, or we go to Brighton. The kids want to go there.
We're going to have to drop them off in the morning.
Not only that, but like I'm going to have to bring... He wants his bike this time, but he said that he wants a snowboard later.
Yeah.
What's he going to do with the stuff when he's not using it? Like, you know? And then some of them are like, I'm going to bring my skateboard as well. You know, and you're like, where are you going to put all that shit?
Snowboard, like that, skateboard, bike... How are
I mean,
you going to
legitimately, most people, I mean, not most people, but a lot of people will be bringing two things at least.
You'd think that you'd bring two.
Well, I was just tripping the other day. I told Tori, I was like, fuck, we just took our bike racks off.
Right.
We're going to have to put them back on, I think, sometimes this winter. I'm like, that's just so odd.
It's weird, and it's like, and the caliber of kids that were there. This was just like a random Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
The caliber of kids that were there, I was like, oh, man. These are going to be
breeding.
The Olympic
training
facilities. You're going to have to...
They are.
You're going to have to
That's train. The goal with this one.
Yep.
Because the U.S. Like, we talked about the Olympics being here. So the U.S. Olympic snowboard team trains here.
Yep.
And they wanted a training half pipe, which a training half pipe is 3 hits.
Yep.
As opposed to 7 or something.
So that's a 3-hit, full like,
three
like the
hit,
full-on... 3-hit,
full-size, 22-foot
super
pipe.
22-foot. Oh, my God.
And so they're also going to have, I think, an 18 or 13-foot pipe.
Oh, that I think I saw that. That's
I think
what was.
They haven't finished that yet, but I think they're going to have a 13-foot pipe.
If there was some pipe that was up in the corner that I was looking
That's
at
the
that
big
I was
one.
Going, oh, man, it's already cut. Because when I was down at Boreal, they were They were working on it all day.
Yeah. Well, that's when they dug in and it's shaped.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got to blow snow on it and pack it.
It looked perfect.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts.
All right, Benny, we're going to wrap this up because we got your family here, and we've been going for an hour and a half, and yep. we got a half hour this morning, too.
Cool, perfect.
This is going to be a great episode. Thank you for showing me around.
Oh, that's awesome.
Showing me around the mountain today.
Come
and,
back,
and,
come check it
and
out.
And convincing me that I've got to do a trip here again and, yeah. and actually do
and
it
proper.
And
you obviously had the invites from some people up there that would be stoked for you to
yeah.
come do some things.
Yeah, we got to do some stuff up here. Yeah. This is a world-class zone.
And like I said, I think it would be super cool for you to do something on site at,
yeah.
at Snowbird.
It'd be super
at Brighton,
fun.
At Woodward.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's where I have to plug into is
yeah.
that Woodward thing.
And I can get
thing.
You in charge with all in touch with all those people and you could yeah. This doesn't take up much room, you know?
No,
how could
and
they
look,
say no?
This is all on batteries. There's no, like, we can do it any literally anywhere.
Yeah.
We could record in a closet. That yeah. actually sounds really good.
Yeah. They do, right?
Yeah, classic. Totally. Awesome, Benny. Thanks
cool.
for everything.
Absolutely.
Really great to talk to you. Good to meet you.
Yeah, super good to meet you, and I'm sure we'll shred again.
We will for sure. Effin' Rad shout-outs this week to Benny and his family. Thanks for hosting me in the show. In Utah, Salt Lake City, definitely going back. The Seymour Bank Slalom was after I recorded this intro and before this show came out, so as always, I'm hopeful that I beat Artie. Be sure to come back next week for another episode of the Effin' Rad Snowboard Podcast, presented by Vans and brought to you by SIA Productions.